So today we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. This is part 5 in our series of spiritual warfare. And we're going to be looking at a couple of situations where the Apostle Paul came into cities in Greece as he was ministering in the New Testament. And he is dealing with deliverance of a particular city. In the first instance, we're going to be talking about Athens. And then in the second instance, we're going to be talking about Corinth, two cities that he encountered and the way he dealt with the warfare in those cities. But first, before we get into that, I want to introduce our guest today. And this is none other than my own daughter, and she's in the ministry. And her name is Sonrisa Rao. And so I'm going to introduce her to you today and let her greet you briefly. And then we'll go into the teaching about deliverance of a city. So, Sonrisa, welcome to Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry.
Thanks so much. Hey, everyone.
So we're going to get to your part, your testimony here in just a minute about the work that you're doing. But first, I want to look at some scripture. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Acts chapter 17. And in verse 16, the Apostle Paul went into Athens, and it says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols." And so then I'm going to jump down to Acts 17, verse 22, and it says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus, that's the place where the men gathered to philosophize and talk about issues of the city. And he said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship. I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you.'" Well, that's some pretty interesting scripture right there. One thing that we can take note of is that in verse 22, it says that Paul told these people that he perceived they are very religious. In other words, they had a religious spirit. Well, I think this is a characteristic of people all over the world. People have a religious spirit. Just about everybody, not everybody, but just about everybody has some kind of a religion that they adhere to and that they trust and that they are attached to, maybe some for centuries and going way back through culture for many centuries, through their family and through their nation. And so religious people have many cultural traditions. They have many cultural rituals that they participate in, and they're built around the calendar and going to a certain place to worship or a certain place to carry out these traditions, and yet it gets them no closer to the one true living God. And so then Paul goes through the city, and he sees that there are many objects of their worship. In other words, the city was filled with idols. Well, we could say the same thing about the USA. We could say the same thing about Kenya. There are many idols people attach themselves to, and they spend their time, their money, their resources worshiping these idols. And Paul came to an idol that was very interesting to him and very peculiar, and it said, it was inscribed with these words, "To the unknown God." So the one that they did not know, but they knew was there, was the one that they were not worshiping, the one unknown God. Well, in a sense, they were worshiping it, because the one God that they didn't know about, they had an idol and a statue made for that God also, when we know that to be Jehovah God. But God, the one true living God, Jehovah, Paul says, the one you don't know, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. And so then Paul starts to preach to these men of Athens, and he says to them in verse 24, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. In other words, their nations, their states, their cities. God has pre-appointed those boundaries. And then in verse 27, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, although he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of you, your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. And so Paul starts to hammer home the gospel message there. He starts to point out that this God that they don't know, that they're worshiping, is the one true God who created them and created Paul and created the boundaries, the nations, the languages, the tongues, all those things that we know of here on the earth. And God has created all those. And so Paul is pointing that out to these men of Athens. And then he goes on in verse 32, and it says, Paul had talked to them about the resurrection of the dead, and it says, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, we will hear you again on this matter. And verse 33, so Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. And so some believed Paul, some believed the gospel message, others mocked him, and that is pretty typical when people hear the gospel message. Some of them will mock, some of them will turn away, and some of them will receive the message and go with Paul, or join with Paul, or join with the preacher and the messenger. Okay, so this brings us to an interesting discussion, and I'm going to bring Sonrisa in here right now, because Paul had encountered a spirit of idolatry and a spirit of religious spirit and a spirit of mockery here in this city of Athens. And so, Sonrisa, I want you to tell the people listening today about the ministry that you have, a particular city that God has appointed you to minister to, and just share with the people.
Okay. Well, some of you may know I spent a long time in Kansas City, always knowing that I would be sent to other places. I knew for quite a while that I would be sent to Los Angeles. I'll definitely say that Los Angeles was not my favorite place. For me, it wasn't the Hollywood dream. But I knew that I was called there because I had a calling to the entertainment industry, and God had shown me that through dreams for years. I prayed for specific people, and he was preparing me for the warfare that would be involved with being sent to a place like Hollywood and Los Angeles, a place that affects the entire world. So 3 years ago, I was sent to Los Angeles, and God gave me a specific mandate to mentor artists and also those with prophetic callings. So I definitely have had an unusual and very specialized mandate and ministry that I was prepared for a long time. So in going into Los Angeles, it has been harder than I would have ever imagined and expected. And yet I know that everything that, you know, I had gone through my entire life before that was preparation for Los Angeles. So I definitely know that I'm called there, and did not expect to be positioned right in the middle of Hollywood. But that's basically where I've been for the last couple of years. And also didn't realize how much beyond the mentoring to artists that I do, those who are called to the city or who come to the city to try to do their music, their acting, their comedy, whatever it may be. And many of them, you know, young, some not so young, but all come into Hollywood with a dream and with a vision. And the Lord really wanted me to be there as a support system to them, sometimes a undercover pastor, undercover mother. Many of them don't realize, you know, that I'm actually, you know, they're being used by God to support and cover them spiritually, so that they can try to use their gift without having to sell their soul to be able to do it.
Okay, so you were definitely called there. There's definite need, I would say, just as an outsider looking in, there's a definite need for people to be called to Hollywood. We know it's a multicultural city. Can you tell us something about the idols and the particular spiritual warfare that you deal with in a more detailed way about the particular idols of that city and the strongholds and the powers and principalities that you have seen and you have dealt with there in that particular city?
Right. So some might be aware that Jezebel is a big principality relating to the entertainment industry. We know what comes through our TVs. We know what comes through our music. And Jezebel being a principality of witchcraft, control, and manipulation, all those things go together. That's a real stronghold through our media. And I'm pretty sure that any believer would, you know, be able to surmise that that's a major factor. However, Los Angeles also, the Lord did, you know, reveal to me specifically that the strong man over Los Angeles is lawlessness. And if anybody's been to California or LA, they know that it's a real loose culture. They know it's a real free, you know, do whatever you want, whatever makes you feel good. And while there are some advantages to the sense of a free spirit, which I have recognized and appreciated, there's definitely the negative side where it really is a sense of no consequences and just pursuing money, pursuing fame, pursuing anything for yourself, self-promotion at any cost to relationships or to other people is just kind of the norm. While there are many good people there, many, many good people, this is an overarching stronghold and that affects everyone that's in that atmosphere in one way or another.
Okay, so Paul encountered people that mocked him. Have you had people mock you?
Yeah, there's, I mean, people on the street, there's a lot of crazy people. There has definitely been persecution anytime you're called of the Lord to do ministry. We know from Scripture that there's going to be persecution. However, I would say that there has definitely been more of a receptiveness to me than there has been, you know, the mocking. And that just shows you that in the midst of a place that is overwhelmed by dark powers and principalities, especially because of the influence of LA and Hollywood to the rest of the world, that even with that, there is a harvest that is greater, that God is definitely wanting the people of God to be aware of.
Okay, can you give us an example, just as Paul encountered people that believed and wanted to go with him or join him? Can you give us an example or two, just briefly, of people that you've ministered to and they have come to know the Lord and got excited about walking with the Lord and found out about the one true living God?
Well, people in LA are actually very spiritual, contrary to what some may think. I think what they've recognized in me is something that's real. And so even people who are spiritual but do not believe in, you know, the true Lord, do not believe or follow Jesus Christ, I've seen that through relationship with me, they've come to see that what I have is real, what I have is authentic, and it's actually a greater power than any power they may believe in. You meet a lot of people who, and it's just really common today in general, that, you know, are into astrology and, you know, following all types, you know, of new age type of beliefs. And what I found with some of those people, which I've had a good receiving with, is that they actually are recognizing that the true God, the scriptures, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the greater power, and that there's a love there too, and a interpersonal relationship that is missing with the belief system that many of them have.
Okay, so let's talk just a bit about strategies. And we know that Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, our battle is not against flesh and blood, or we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers and principalities, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, and rulers of darkness. And so what do you see, and how have you applied different strategies to try to share the gospel with street people or people that you encounter, or what are the strategies you employ to try to take back this city for the kingdom of God?
Well, this may seem general or vague to some, but it's actually incredibly important. The first and foremost strategy is obedience. There's no way that we can formulate a plan to take a city or a plan to save people. Only the Holy Spirit knows who he wants, how he wants them to be ministered to and targeted, and how to place them in our paths as we are seeking God's will every day. So I would never undertake this type of spiritual warfare because I wanted to. I didn't choose it. And I definitely have to say that, you know, nobody can just take this upon themselves. They have to be called to it, and they have to walk in obedience to the Lord. And through that walk of obedience, the Lord positions you with the right people. He connects you to the right people. He puts you in the right place. And he also gives you the authority only by obedience that you could possibly have to be involved in warfare where you're dealing with principalities, you know, at such a high level.
Okay, so you're talking about authority. So you have authority through the blood of Jesus to take authority over these powers and principalities. So have you seen victory in the ways that you've ministered? Have you seen victory to the point where God says, yeah, that's really good, I like that, and then released you to go on to do something else?
Absolutely. Definitely doesn't come quick. Even though I did have a prophetic word when I first went to LA that God was going to accelerate my path. And because, you know, I was going, you know, later, a little bit later in life with some maturity and a lot of preparation. So over the course of probably 2.5 years, really it was last year in 2020 that the Lord started to show me that everything that I had done, I was now coming into the land of promise, and I actually was occupying the land. So last year over 2020, even though the battle was at its most fierce, the Lord at a certain point was showing me that I already had the victory because of the battles that had already been fought. We do have authority that is through the blood, that is the basic believer's authority, but greater authority has to be gained through our experiences, just like David didn't take down Goliath until he had gone through the process of killing the lion and killing the bear. So I had to go through my process of gaining greater authority through obedience and through those battles. And at the end of 2020, the Lord showed me clearly that I had gained a great victory over a major principality in Hollywood that was keeping people from their destiny and keeping people from the kingdom of God.
Okay, so let's talk just a minute about the church culture out there. You've been to several churches. I don't know too much about the churches out there. Is there a strong church culture? Are there people ministering in the churches that are really on fire and really preaching the gospel, and are there street preachers, and what kind of culture is the preaching and the church culture out there?
Well, there's just a little bit of everything. There's a total variety. However, there is a strong Christian church culture in LA, throughout LA, and even in Hollywood. The church that I went to is right in the middle of Hollywood, very thriving. Solid. I was impressed, and I felt really grateful to be connected so quickly to a very solid church. And so the young people, many who are in the industry and pursuing acting, music, whatever it may be, are going to church and having access to great sound preaching and worship experience and fellowship. But again, there's everything, you know, under the sun out there, and so people gravitate to certain things, but there definitely isn't a lack of good church culture either.
Okay, I want to visit the Church of Corinth here now in Acts chapter 18. Paul goes from Athens to Corinth, which was another church there in Greece. And of course, we know that Paul wrote two letters to the people at Corinth, the 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians books of the New Testament. And it says here in Acts 18:4, Paul reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. And verse 6, well, here comes the opposition. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean, for now on I will go to the Gentiles." Well, that sounds like the end of Paul's ministry to the Corinthians, but it wasn't. In verse 9, the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, and he said, "Do not be afraid, Paul, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And Paul continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. And so there was blasphemers there, that is, people that lied against the Holy Spirit, and there was also people opposed to him, and Paul shook the dust off of his feet and was probably ready to leave that place. And then the Lord spoke to him and said, "Paul, I'm going to protect you here. I'm going to keep you here. And there are many people here that will stand with you." And oftentimes, Sonrisa, I think it's safe to say oftentimes we get very discouraged because we think we're all alone. Elijah was the only one, or he thought he was the only one, that was left in Israel that was praying, that had his knees on the ground. And God said, "No, there's 7,000 more that have not bowed their knees to Baal." And so tell us about your battle as far as the Lord keeping you there, maybe when you wanted to flee, and how that turned out.
Oh, wow. Well, as I said, Hollywood wasn't my, you know, favorite place, you know, to go. But because of the harvest, because, you know, of the stakes that God showed me, you know, I couldn't leave, no matter how bad, you know, I may have wanted to. So really, for the first 2.5 years, I only left LA one time. And that was because in order to occupy the land, you have to be there. And so I was really confined in, you know, to a very small, limited, you know, life and place right there in Hollywood. But I will say that God, you know, always gave me what I need. I had peace that I was in his will. And I also did have a good support system of strong believers that were, you know, supporting me. We were supporting each other with our mission to LA, as God had called us, you know, separately, but we met up while we were there. So I knew, like everything in my life, that I couldn't stop until God said, you know, that the mission was finished. And I also knew that no matter what it may have looked or felt like, because there's definitely, you know, a cost to be paid when you go to battle. But no matter what it looked or felt like, that it would end in victory.
Okay, well, just briefly, what would transformation of LA look like to you? What is your vision to see transformation and see revival come to that city?
Well, one of the biggest things is definitely, you know, transfer of wealth. There has to be wealth transferred to righteous people, and so that they can transform the city. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the homeless in Los Angeles. It's, you know, really something that has to be done and about it, and it has to be done by kingdom people, people that really have God's vision for them to be provided for and taken care of. And then secondly, people need to be placed in positions of power who are righteous people, who are open, either believers or people who are open to the kingdom of God being advanced, so that they can give opportunities to many other people that have the call of God on their lives to begin to bring righteous, holy, wholesome media and arts into the industry and then out to the world.
Okay, well, Sonrisa, we wish you well, and you're headed back to LA here shortly, and so we wish you Godspeed and keep doing the work of the Lord, and thank you for sharing with us today, your work out there in Los Angeles.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate the chance of getting to share what I've been doing.
Okay, if anybody would want to support Sonrisa in her work in Los Angeles and in Hollywood, you can go to PayPal and send any donation to sonrisar@yahoo.com. And those of you who know PayPal, you can send it, of course, to any email or any phone number. So hers is sonrisar@yahoo.com through PayPal. So once again, this is Jim Rao, and we thank you for tuning in today. Next week, we'll be on to something else as we go on beyond spiritual warfare. Really, the whole Bible is spiritual warfare. We could keep teaching on this for a long, long time, but we'll go on to something else. And so we thank you for listening today. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry, and so we invite you to support this ministry and the projects we have going in Africa, the children's home there in Makunda and the Living Water Church, and also we'll be going back to Tanzania later in the summer for crusades. So we invite you to stand with us, partner with us, and we thank you again for listening today. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.